for we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. I wanted to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. At the end. I don't know where you've been looking at pictures on television lately. But it's been a bit rough, hasn't it? I don't know whether you've looked at the pictures from India and seen all the water and all the rain that's come down and all the houses that have been washed away. We think of the situation in Germany as well, where all those houses got washed away. And realize that, Scripture talks about that. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses from there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. If we looked at the pictures of places where houses have been washed away and all the rest of it, there are some parts of the world where people can't build on rock. I was thinking of Bangladesh, which is basically a delta, and all you've got there is mud. And whilst they build their houses on stilts so that they can hopefully get away from the worst of the flooding, the fact is, it's not on a firm foundation. And I just want us to realize that the firm foundation that we can have is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, no other foundation is that strong. So I want us to think this morning about rock. I don't know whether when I say a rock, or talk about the word rock, what comes to mind? Any thoughts when you think about a rock? Sorry? Houses? Houses?
I think boulders.
Sorry?
Boulders.
Boulders, yeah. Yeah. I remember we went over to Ireland once, and we went, was it the Isle of Arran? Where all the rocks, yeah. And basically, the fields there were big rocks. I mean, when I say big rocks, they were sort of from here to the wall with a crack in between. And the only bit of grass in those fields were actually in the cracks. And it worried me quite a lot, because I thought if a cow or something was going there and was after some of that grass and stuck its head down between the crack, you know, sometimes you can go into somewhere and you can't necessarily come out the same way, can you? Quite frightening, really. But their fields were basically just big rocks. There wasn't anything else there. And in fact, I guess it rained over there so much that all they did was groove out a little bit of the rock, and that was their drinking troughs. They didn't have mains water or anything else. It was fairly primitive farming over there at that stage, and that wasn't very long ago. But just that reminds me that it was solid. You know, you weren't going to move that, however hard you tried. You know, whereas sand you can move quite easily, can't you? And so I wanted us to remember that, you know, we need to rest in the Lord Jesus, to rely on him and trust him. There's lots of other things we can trust, But the fact is, they aren't necessarily as secure and steadfast. I know that's only a little comment, but I also got a chorus that I want you to sing with me. Yeah, that's right. Jill's managed to get it up, and Juliet's got some music, so that's brilliant. And we'll do the action. Anybody know the actions? Good. So would you like to come out the front to do the actions for me? Yeah. Yeah, all right, you'll do it there. Right, okay. Yeah, well, anybody who wants to do the actions can do the actions, and we'll just sing The Wise Man Buddha Says One Rock. In fact, we sing this when we used to go to Portcullis, and all the old ladies and gents there, they used to love it, because they could remember it from their Sunday school days, and they would do the actions as well, even if they don't do many other actions in their life, they were actually doing those actions. So should we have a go? Remember that, won't you? That, you know, all of us are going to have storms in life. You know, whether you're young or you're old, you're going to have storms in life. But we will be safe in the Lord Jesus if we trust him. Thank you. I wonder now if we could, I'd like to read Psalm 40. I haven't asked any of you to do readings yet, because I thought that I wanted to talk on rock, and it might be sometimes that your new versions have got stones or other things in them, and that wouldn't be very effective if we were talking about rock, would it? So, you know, we're going to, I'd like to read Psalm 40 to you if I can. Nearly there. Yeah. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou not opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yet thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. We'll leave it there. But lovely psalm. You could go on and read more of it if you wanted to. But I'd like us to now turn to number 582, which is Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And if you probably all, how many of you have been to Burrington Coombe and seen the rock? Yes, some of you have, and right. Yeah, up on the Mendips, there's a rock in Burrington Coombe, and there Mr. Toplady, who was the vicar of Blagden, was out on a walk one day, and he got caught in a terrific storm, and he was able to shelter in this rock. And after he'd sheltered in the rock, he found himself writing this hymn. And in this hymn we need to look. It says there in the third verse, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We need to remember that it's nothing that we can do, it's all that Jesus has done to save us. So we'll sing Rock of Ages if we could, please. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. if you haven't been up to Burrington Coombe, it's well worth a trip up there to see all of it. You can still see the place there where he hid from the storm. It is marked up there. I'd like to read now from 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereof. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal peace priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know we're a peculiar people? Yeah, we are. Plenty of people could have told you that without reading it from Scripture, couldn't they? But the fact is that we are special. Jesus also thinks of us as precious. Peter reminds us that we are precious. You know, have you got something that's precious? You know, I guess there's two little ones there. Yeah, I was just thinking of that, you know. You know, we all got things that are precious. But Peter says that we, each one of us, are precious to Jesus. And if you want to know how precious we are, well, just remember the cross. And remember that Jesus died there for you and for me. And the lovely thing is that even if it was only you who were here on the earth, Jesus would still have died for you because he loved you so much. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? It isn't a mass thing. You know, although it was sufficient for everybody, it was for you that Jesus died, because you were precious to him. I'd like to have a time of prayer now. If people would like to join in and pray, you know, there's lots of things to be thankful for, isn't it? I'm even thankful that it's not quite so hot as it was last week, because it was a bit much, really. Did you find it a bit much? Yeah, I thought you might. Yeah, you know, but some of you might like the heat like that, but it wasn't much good for doing work in. But we'll have a time of prayer, and we'll just come to the Lord and share with him anything we need to. Okay, let's pray. I want us just for a little while this morning to think about rock in the Bible. A few weeks ago, when most of you weren't here, we talked about caves. And so I wanted us to look at rocks in the Bible, or rock in the Bible. I just wonder what you think of or where you think of when you think of a rock and the steadfastness of it. I mean, when we used to live in North Devon, we were able to look out on Lundy from where we lived. And Lundy Island is just basically a massive rock stuck out there in the Atlantic, 20 miles off the coast. And it rises up about 400 feet. And it helps protect some of North Devon, at least, from all the storms that come along. It's a fairly massive rock. It's, I think, 400 feet high in the middle of it. And, you know, it's there. It's like a fortress. And different places you can think of, probably, that are places that are rocks to you. You know, you might have some special place that you like to go. It's a safe and secure place. When you think of rock, you think of it being immovable. And, you know, we need to realize that there are places in our lives that seem to be relatively immovable. You can rely on them. And sometimes there are people like that as well that you can rely on. They're steady. They don't get too excited. They don't do anything too drastic. Might be a bit dull in some senses, but they're there when you need them. And that's, you know, where you are sometimes with people. And you can think of them as a rock as well. Someone steadfast that you can care for. God made the heavens and the earth. He provided all the rocks that there are there. And that's a lovely thought. And the thought is that He only spoke and creation took place. Can we really grasp that? That God just spoke and the whole of creation took place? I know there's lots of people about who say, well, what a stupid idea. You know, science has proved otherwise. I don't think it has. I don't think science has proved that something's X million years old, because they aren't X million years old themselves to know whether it happened or not. You know, as we talk about so many miles away and all the rest of it, we're not sure about our distances. I mean, it's marvelous what science can do, you know, and some of the things that have happened, you know, like, if you like, something landing on Mars, and they get in it that accurate that they could actually manage to cause it to land there. Wonderful. I'm not decrying science, but when you look at nature, when you look at all that we see around us, can we really not believe that there's somebody behind it? You know, you just take a flower. Take an insect. You know, they're all different. They're all beautiful. God made it good for us. And God makes us to be able to be safe on rocks in our lives. If we have a storm coming up against us, you don't want to be on a sandy beach, do you? You want to be on a solid rock somewhere. You know, sometimes the beach can change. If you have a real storm, after a big storm, the beach needn't be the same again. The sand can have been moved. You know, sometimes at Weston, they have to move all the sand back again. And in different parts of the world, there can be a whole movement of sand because of a storm. You know, sand isn't stable. Rock is. God is our rock. If we look at the Bible, we see there that when men sought to worship God, they picked up some fairly large stones and built an altar. Usually in the Old Testament, there were 12 stones because of the fact of the 12 tribes of Israel. But they used stones as altars to worship God. Large stones. Do we have places where we can, if you like, quietly meet to worship God? I know we can come to chapel, but sometimes there are other places that we can go to which are special to us, where we can go and worship the Lord. But rocks weren't always so stable. If we look in the Bible at 1 Kings chapter 19, we can find there Elijah. And Elijah's just had a tremendous time. The prophets of Baal, 450 of them, couldn't cause the fire to start coming up around the altar. And as a result of that, Elijah tempted them or challenged them and mocked them. And in the end, the Lord caused fire to come down on the altar, that rock that was there, and burn up the animal. And sometimes we can be in places where there's tremendous joy, tremendous privilege, tremendous closeness to God, and see God working in marvelous ways. Do you get excited when somebody comes to know the Lord that you know? There's no greater thrill, really, than that happening. You know that, don't you? You know, and it's true, isn't it, that there is no greater joy than someone coming to know the Lord. The Lord can break through. And sometimes we get to high points. But often Satan seeks to knock us after that. Often we're, if you like, having to hold on to our anchor. Hold on to that rock. You know, sometimes you see these television programs, Saving Lives at Sea, and you see people clinging desperately to rocks. Whether they should have gone where they were in the first place is another matter. But, you know, they're clinging to something that's stable. And we can do that. So we find that that appears to be stable. But when we get to Elijah, he gets a bit fed up. You know, God has used him, and then suddenly Jezebel, that wicked queen, seeks to get rid of him. And he's scared. And he goes out into the desert. He goes away from familiar surroundings, wanting a bit of peace and quiet. And sometimes when we have trouble, we need to get away and have a bit of peace and quiet, don't we? And sometimes it isn't so easy to get it, is it? But the fact is, we do sometimes need it. Elijah went away, and he was out there wishing to die. He thought, I've had enough. You know, have you ever felt, I've had enough? You know, it's a feeling that you can have. God meets with him. God meets with him there. And we find that Elijah hides himself in a rock in the mountains. And the Lord passes by. But we find that there's a storm, there's tempests, there's earthquake, all sorts of things happening. And the fact that the rock, God broke rocks in pieces. you know, they aren't so stable after all as what it might appear. But we read that God was not in the rock, he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire, he was in the still, small voice. And sometimes we need to be quiet. We need to be in that rock, away from ourselves, away from everything else, in order that we can hear God speak to us. But God is our rock. He's the rock of our salvation. God is the one unchangeable thing in the whole of creation. However much we like to think of it otherwise, that is what we need to remember. And Jesus has died for us on the cross. He's rose again, victorious over sin and death, and he's there as our rock. And we need to remember that. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. There's lots of passages that we could read in Psalms where David calls on God as his rock when he was in all sorts of trouble. And what we need to remember is that just as David was able to call on God, so are we able to call on God if we put our faith and trust in him to be our rock, whatever our situation that we're in. And sometimes life isn't easy. And if we're trying to follow the Lord, often the devil's wanting, there was one verse, wasn't there, that we were looking at, that the devil was like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. You know, he's there. Devil isn't going to let us have an easy ride. Do you realize that? You know, sometimes life is going to be difficult, you know, and you're going to get mocked and all the rest of it. But Jesus is our rock, and you can't move him. He is steadfast and sure. And so all I'd say this morning is that remember to have the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, the steadfast one who can't move. You know, there's no greater security that we can have than the security of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. You know, you can think of all the things in the world, all the things that you can have. There's nothing greater than Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Just hope you'll remember that when you kick something and it's a rock and it doesn't do your foot any good or anything else. You know, remember that Jesus is a solid rock, you know, and we need to remember to rely on him. Let's just conclude by singing 473. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.